When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Empire.
Hello and welcome to my podcast. Do me a favor, subscribe to the John Kime Report wherever you get your podcast. You're watching on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. You can find us there as part of Empire Media, AMPIRE. Always much appreciated when you tune in. And don't forget, you can read my work on ESPN.com. You can go there. I have a free agent tracker where I analyze every commander's deal. So everybody who's agreeing to a deal, I'm going to see what it means, and is there any risk to the signing? And in most cases, there is not. Anyway, you can go there and check it out, because it's one-stop shopping for all the analysis of every pick. And you can do that for every team. You want to find out what the Eagles have done, the Giants, we have it for them too. So go there. Now, one programming note. Like I told you before, I will be doing a live stream show Wednesday night, let's say 8 o'clock. Be there. So we'll go over the first day of free agency. Now, of course, the first day is pretty much going to be what, you know, these guys that they've already agreed to deal, they're signed, they can now sign their contracts. But we can also talk about a lot of the ramifications of these moves, with asking one big question: is this team better? And what does it mean for this, for their future? So still going to be a lot to discuss, regardless of how many they sign. And by the way, they still have a lot of cap room, folks, so they can still make more moves. In fact, I was looking at it according to Over the Cap. Now, they do not have all these free agent signings on their docket now, but right now, I think this, they had Washington with around $75 million in cap space. So, and that's with Dorrance Armstrong, that's with Frankie Louvu, Allegretti, and Eckler. They do not have all the contracts on there. So it's clearly less than that, but they still have room to do a few more things, and they need guys on the roster. So they still need a lot. And then you figure you're going to have probably 8 to 10 draft picks when it's all said and done. And then you're going to have a bunch of undrafteds in San Francisco. They typically would get in that 10 to 13 range with undrafted guys. So you can do the math yourself. They need to get to 90. So there's still room to do things, and they still have needs. But I want to talk about free agency and what the ramifications, what each of these moves means go now and going forward. Because one thing I will say, a couple things that jump out. First of all, I'm going to talk about two guys that these moves have impacted that are currently on the roster currently. Cam Curl and Sam Howell. Now, Cam Curl, I think we've seen the last of him in Washington, and they went out and signed Jeremy Chin today. I'm going to get into that more, but I think once Curl got to the legal tampering period, which is essentially the start of free agency, I felt like he had one foot out the door. And I think with this move, I think it'd be hard to see him back. Then with Sam Howell, they signed Marcus Mariota as a veteran backup quarterback to whomever they select with the number two pick. Now, I think we've all known that there was a chance that Howell could be traded at some point. I think it's just logic, especially if they signed a veteran quarterback. Now, you never take things for granted or assume things. So I don't know what they're going to do yet, because nobody there has told me. Now, I will say, this is what I would say. This is a very prudent group, right? So I don't think they're going to trade somebody just to trade them. I think the trade would have to make sense. And as someone else there has told me, there are worse things to do than to have three quarterbacks on your roster who you feel can play and are worth keeping around. There are certainly worse things than that. As we've known with this franchise over the years, a lot of quarterbacks play every year. So except for last year when it was primarily Sam. But the point is, I don't think they're going to just trade Sam just to trade him. The other thing to keep in mind, like you could do it during the draft if somebody doesn't get a quarterback they want or still needs a backup, or the other time you could do it if you wanted to do it is in August. You don't need to add more draft capital this year if you don't want to. They have a lot of good picks. So you could also wait till August, see, does somebody get hurt? Does another team get desperate for a quarterback? And Howell's a guy that you could bring in and he could help you in some kind of a role. So that I'm not taking it for granted that this is, the absolute end for him. I think we all can see where this is going, but when does it happen? Does it happen now? Does it happen during August? Does he stick around for the season because nobody gives him a good enough offer? There's still a lot, there's still more to learn. And then I think the other thing is clearly Howell would not want to go from being a starter for every game to being a third quarterback all year, but not necessarily his call. So ultimately you would think that he would get traded. I operate in definitives when it's definitive but you would think that would happen. It's just a matter of when and what does it look like. So, anyway, I wanted to start with that. Now let's get on to their moves. And to me, some big picture items with these moves. So I'm going to start with this fact or this thought that, first of all, I think these are very responsible signings. They have not gone out and gotten these huge, huge names. I think Austin Ekeler and Mariota are big names. They're not big time players at this point by any means. So, but they have the names, but they're responsible signings. And I think what you clearly see here is a plan by the organization and then one that they have attacked aggressively. I think one of the problems that this franchise had over the last several years was at times that they were not aggressive enough in attacking some of their deals. And it doesn't have to be, again, going out and throwing money at every big player, but the guys you want, go get them. And that's what it seems like they've done. So I think that's one thing. So you got that plan. I think they've been spending responsibly. These are all three-year deals at most. And there's a handful of one-year deals. And so these are, to me, this is a way where this group wants to build through the draft. We know that. And the way they're approaching this is allowing them to do just that. These are not deals that you're going to be hamstrung by for several years and get out. Each of these deals, these three-year deals, you can get out of it in 2 years. And I put up some of the contract numbers on the roster management system that ESPN subscribes to. But I put those up on my Twitter feed. So if you want to see that in the breakdown of what the cap figures are, it's very favorable. And I think it's either Over the Cap or Spotrac has them as well. So, but they're very favorable. And, you look by the cap hits, really, most of these three-year deals are two-year deals. So you're going to be able to get out of them. So if these guys can't play, you're not hamstrung by them. And if you get guys in the draft that can, the goal here is draft guys, draft good players, and then you can start replacing these guys as their contracts phase out. But what they've also done is they've attacked their needs. So they've signed three defensive ends now, obviously a big time need. They've signed a starting linebacker. They've signed another safety. They wanted to do that. They've signed an offensive lineman. So they've signed areas of need, which then allows you in the draft to attack the areas you really want guys at, or where just the guys you really want. So clearly at number two, you're going to take a quarterback, but with the second round picks and those top 101 picks of 5 and 101, you can be aggressive with that if you want to move back up, because you don't need to get a smorgasbord of talent in those rounds. Obviously, the more the merrier, but if you say, okay, you've got this guy, you're good here, move up to get this guy, this tackle in the first round, this offensive tackle in the first round, there is good depth at the tackle position in this draft. They still need a corner. Now, when I'm recording this, at around 7 o'clock Eastern time on Tuesday night, I'm a little bit nervous that other things are going to happen because other things happened last night. I had to re-record it. But as I record this, they still need another corner or two. And I keep bringing up Jordan Lewis's name. He'd be a slot corner, but you still need another starting corner unless you feel like Forbes and St. Juiced are good enough to handle that. But you still need another corner right now. You could go to the draft and do that. You still need linebacker depth. You're still going to want another receiver, but offensive tackle will certainly be very high on the list of things that you're going to want in the draft. But this gives you the option to not have to go in there and say, we have to get these positions in the draft or we're screwed. They filled some needs. Now you can go attack the draft the way you want. uninhibited by what your needs are. And I would always say, like, I don't think you ever just draft for needs ever. You should never do that. And every team says they don't want to do that. And some teams sometimes do, but you can attack the guys that you want. And then again, but tackle was a spot you're going to want to get, but these moves enable you to stick to the plan of drafting how you want. And actually it gives you more freedom to draft how you want. And again, these contracts, you're not going to be tied. So you're going to get a lot of bridge type starters. I think Nick Allegretti, who they agreed to a deal last night on Monday night, I told the club members this earlier today, but I would pencil him in at left guard, but I'm not putting it in pen because the way the contract is about $4.5 million per year in the first couple of years. It is a low end starter or high end backup and a guy that can be very versatile. I would expect him right now. Clearly you expect him to go in and start because it's funny because I talked to someone else early this morning about that. And he's like, that's the kind of deal for a guy who didn't start in Kansas City, or only started like 13 games, but it's the kind of deal where you get because they think you can start. And there were enough teams interested in him. And even in Kansas City, like people there tell me that part of it is that they did view him as a guy who could start. They just had depth at those positions. So I would pencil him in there and add some toughness. I mean, that's one of the strengths of his game. And, you know, I think he's supposed to be a really good run blocker. So we'll see, but I think he adds something, but again, you know, he's not a guy that you're going to be tied to. So if you want to develop a Mason Brooks, if you want to get a guy in the fourth, fifth round that you want to develop, you can do that without feeling like they have to come in and play right away. Trades, free agents, quarterbacks, and all kinds of adventures await the Commanders this offseason. Looking for an adventure of your own? The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring has you covered. The country's largest ropes course and zipline park, located in Montgomery County, Maryland, is now open. Named Best Amusement Park and Climbing Destination in the DMV 2 years in a row, the Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is perfect for birthdays, corporate outings, groups, and families. With challenges anywhere from beginner to expert, there is something for all skill levels. Anytime you're thinking about reaching new heights, make sure you know before you go. The Adventure Park at Sandy Spring is the only ACCT accredited park in Maryland or Virginia. Staying on the ground, give axe throwing a try. You can throw at traditional targets or play any number of interactive games. You can even upload your own image. So there you have it, folks. Climbing, ziplining, axes, food, and bonfires right in your backyard. Reserve your adventure today at www.theadventurepark.com/kime. That's www.theadventurepark.com/kime. So I would get a tight end too. I would go out and get another tight end. Again, Zach Ertz can play, but he's a one-year deal. And I think some of these guys, you're bringing them in here too. I think you want to establish your identity as a program, your culture as a program. And so you're bringing in guys like Ertz, like Eckler, who have a reputation for working very, very hard. And, you know, I don't think any of these guys don't have that reputation. I don't think any of these guys have a reputation of being the other way, but certainly that's something with those guys like that. And you can get veterans in the room who can show you how to work. And I don't think that this is a team that didn't know how to work. I don't want to go overboard with that. I don't think it was a bad locker room. I think this year it was not a good year for them and it seeped into the locker room, but I don't think there was a lot of bad guys in there by any means. So, but I do think the way they've attacked this is serves like you have some bridge type players and guys who can kind of help you establish again, an identity, a tone, a culture, and then bring in other guys who follow with that over the ensuing years. And that's when the draft had to take over. It's not going to take over this year as much as it is going to be in future years. So, but I, like I said, I think those are all good. And by the way, swerving just a brief minute here, but we did talk to Zach Ertz today via Zoom. One of the things he did say he had other options. He did say that he felt like Cliff Kingsbury is one of the best offensive minds he's been around. And I think that's one of the reasons why he wanted to reunite here. And he did say that he knows from playing here as an Eagles player that he said when the team was good rolling or when the team was good, that this place was a really good atmosphere. So see if he can get it back there, and it may take a couple of years, but anyways, that's partly what he was talking about. And the other thing too, as I think did ask him about, you know, a guy who as a veteran who still can play, and what is it that he's learned that helps you play? And it's just more little tricks of the trade and being in sync with the quarterback and knowing how to get there and communication and all that stuff helps him. Anyways, back to the agreed upon deals. Let's go. But again, allows you to build through the draft. I think there's a plan. I think they've been aggressive and it's been a good start. So let's get to some of the moves that they did agree to and just some of the players and kind of go over them. And I told you about Allegretti, also signed kicker Brandon McManus, or signed, agreed with him on Monday night. It replaces Joey Sly. And McManus is only a little bit more than an 81% career field goal kicker, but he is better at extra points. He's missed a combined three. Sly missed combined three over the last 3 years. Sly was seven over the last two. So that's one big thing. And then between 40 and 49 yards, McManus is really good. Best in the NFL since, like, I think it's 2020, 94.7%, something like that. But that's the best among kickers with at least 20 attempts. And Sly was not near that. So he's an upgrade in some areas. I think Sly is a bigger leg and is probably more consistent from beyond 50. Although McManus has had more attempts over 50, a lot more attempts. All right. Marcus Mariota. Now he's your backup quarterback. He has not been considered that mentorship type over the years. And part of it is because he's been a guy who could go and start. He did back up Derek Carr. First of all, he hasn't been in many situations like this where he's coming in as a clear guy who has to help a young quarterback. He did go to Atlanta a couple of years ago. And when the Falcons drafted Desmond Ridder, but Ridder was a third round pick. And I don't think Mariota went there intending to be a mentor to sit behind Desmond Ridder. So I think, you know, you have to have a guy who's comfortable doing that. Jacoby Brissett handled it great. And I think they need Mariota to do the same. He clearly, Brian Johnson, who's their pass game coordinator, knows him from having had him last year in Philadelphia. So there's that familiarity again helps because this is what they've been doing, man. And this is what you do. You bring in guys you're familiar with. But with Mariota's case and Johnson, that's what it is. And, you know, it does not tip off who they're going to pick with the number two pick. This just because, oh, Mariota can run, so therefore it's Jaden Daniels. No, they're not that superficial, folks. And what I can tell you is that it may end up to be Jaden Daniels, but this does not mean that it's going to be Jaden Daniels. With this group, what I know is that they're going to be very thorough. They're going to go through the process. That means you still have to go through pro days. You still have to have the in facility visits. That's going to be a big decider for, I think, who they ultimately go with, because I think what you want to see at those things are attributes. You know, you want to see them up on the board, diagram plays, all that, but also get to know them more as a person. What kind of leader might they be, et cetera. Because that's going to be a big part of the evaluation. So to think that on March 12th, because they agreed to a deal with Mariota, that it means it's Jaden Daniels. No, don't go there. Again, it might be, but it doesn't mean that. And I think, as Ben Standig pointed out, that the NFL Network had reported that there was some interest in Sam Darnold too, who is not the same kind of quarterback as Mariota and is probably a little bit more like Drake May. And it wouldn't have meant they were going after Drake May either. What you do is you get a guy that you consider that you think can be a good backup quarterback and help you if they need to play. And that's what they did with Mariota. All right, who else we got here? Cleveland Farrell from the 49ers. I like this signing. I think he's a guy who's a disciplined guy, considered disciplined, very disciplined, and plays with effort. And, you know, has never been that big sack guy that when you're drafted number four overall, that people expect that, has not been his game. He's been very solid against the run. In fact, when Chase Young went out to San Francisco, they kept Cleveland in the lineup as a starter on the early downs and let Chase Young come in as a pass rusher because they just felt he was more consistent in that area. Good reputation in locker room, 1-year deal. and they needed to fill the spot. They needed another guy opposite Dorrance Armstrong, who we talked about on Monday. So I like that one. Again, good dude in the locker room. Dante Fowler, this was an expected one. Just like we thought with Armstrong, for sure, Fowler was the other one. Again, Dan Quinn recruited him at Florida, had him in Atlanta, had him in Dallas. So another guy to be in the rotation as defensive end. He was not a starter in Dallas. I would expect Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell to start, and I would expect Fowler to be a rotational guy. Now, what I don't know is what else they have planned at defensive end. You could bring back Tuhill or James Smith Williams, probably, you know, but you also have KJ Henry, you also have Andre Jones, and you can draft someone. So I don't know that you need to spend more at this position, and especially now that what I don't know is what do they feel KJ Henry can do. Or do you just go again, draft someone? Personally, I would draft somebody because you can never have enough defensive ends, as we've seen. But I also think it gets you that young talent in there that you can work in there in your rotation. And then you have two guys who are on 1 year deals, and it will allow you to go, you know, to move in that direction in 2025. So get that depth there if you can, and then build. This is, again, you're building for the future. Tyler Ott, long snapper, didn't see this one coming, but Tucker Addington has only snapped a couple games for them. So Larry Izzo had Tyler Ott in Seattle for 4 years. Ott was with Baltimore last year. So now he's here. So that was a move, you know, so, but when you have long snapper, you need guys you can trust, and Izzo has been with them and clearly would trust him. And Jeremy Chinn is the other one that I think is very interesting, because of his versatility. And again, I brought up the Cam Curl stuff. Well, Chinn can play. He's played free safety. He's played linebacker. He's played in the box as a strong safety, but he's considered a versatile chess piece. And, you know, if you want to use position flex, go ahead. I think we'll just tap into the word versatility for now, but it's the same thing. He can play multiple spots. He's got good size, 6'3", 220. And so I think, and again, he played linebacker his rookie year, and then they started moving around with safety. So he can play in the box. Now you have, at safety, now you have him. And this is, I felt like they needed to bring another veteran in there and not just draft somebody and put him with two other young guys. But with Quan Martin and Derek Forrest and Chinn, I think you're okay there. You also have Percy Butler if you want to keep developing. No word on Jeremy Reeves. I keep telling you that I think he's going to be back here, but it hasn't been official yet. So, but you know, he would be a fifth safety. And you also have Terrell Burgess. So there's still some guys here beyond that, but I think you have some depth there now, and some young talent there. So you don't have to go there in the draft if you don't want to at all. Corner, I would still go there, because you can never have enough corners, and I think they still need some. So anyways, but I think Chinn was a nice signing, 1 year deal up to around 5.2 million. So it's not expensive. And again, a 1 year deal. So if you wanted to go safety, but I would, if I'm them, I would say, like, okay, let's see how Percy Butler develops. I don't think you have to spend big at that position. I think that's part of the problem for a guy like Curl, is teams know they don't have to, because the market is such that it's a little bit depressed with a bunch of guys that have been cut loose going into free agency. So anyway, all in all, another active day for Washington, and they're going to still be active. I would think they're going to still be active, because they still can be active, and they still have more than a few spots to fill on the roster. So to get to that 90-man roster. So anyway, that's wrapping up. It's been a whirlwind, folks, and it's been very, very busy, much busier than it's been in recent years, because again, they had a lot of room they had a lot of cap space, but a lot of holes to fill. But I like the way they've attacked it. Again, I'll be back. If there are more moves tonight, I'll put something out in the morning. But you know, if it's worthy. If not, I'll be talking to you Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Join me for the live stream show, and we'll talk about, is this team now better? If so, where? Where are you still concerned? All that. And we'll go over whatever new moves they may have made, because they still have spots to fill, folks. They still need to get a left tackle. Whether you do it in the draft, free agency, you still need to find another tackle. And then again, I still think they're going to want to get another receiver. But if you want to wait to the draft, you can do that now too. So that's it for me, folks. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back on Wednesday night with the live stream show. So I'll talk to you next time.